21. Nate and Clive ran the long tape across the lounge while Debbie helped Veek measure her room. They headed upstairs and the two men began to work in Nate's apartment while Debbie and Veek knocked on Mandy's door. It took a little bit of work to convince her, but not too much. Tim was all for it.
"We can go do Zila's place," Debbie said while Clive jotted down all the numbers. "You guys want to talk to Andrew?"
"Not really," said Clive. She gave him a look and he cleared his throat. "I mean, of course, dear."
"Watch it, mister."
She shook a mocking finger at him and headed down the hall. Nate followed Clive over to apartment 25.
"We might be lucky," said Clive in a low voice. "Sunday before 2, there's a good chance he'll be at church."
"Why's that good?"
"Because I don't like dealing with him."
He set his jaw and knocked. Nate recognized the man who answered the door. He had Lego-perfect hair and was wearing a tie and sweater vest with a short-sleeve shirt. Clive nodded his head in greeting.
"Hey, Andrew."
"Clive?"
The man with plastic hair looked at Nate.
"Hello," he said. "I'm afraid I don't know your name, but I've seen you around."
"Nate Tucker," he held out his hand. "I live right over there. I think you held the gate for me once."
"That's right, you cleaned up some of the phone books."
Andrew shook Nate's hand as if he was worried it might break.
"So, this is a little odd," said Clive, "but we were wondering if we could take a couple measurements of your apartment."
Andrew's head tipped to the side, went straight, and swung to the other side.
"What for?"
"We're just trying to figure out something, how thick the walls are."
"Why do you need to know?"
"It's just a little bet," said Nate. He sensed Clive tense up next to him. "Nothing important." Andrew bit his lip.
"Oh," he said, "I don't know if I can condone gambling."
He took in his breath as if he had more to say, but just stood there. Clive cleared his throat.
"It's just a figure of speech."
"The book has some very specific things to say about gambling and other distractions."
"But we're not," said Nate. "Sorry. Bad choice of words. I apologize."
Andrew looked back and forth between them.
"I have your word this is not some form of wager. It would look bad for me if it was."
"Absolutely not," said Clive. "It's just to satisfy curiosity. Nothing more."
Andrew took another breath and twisted the bottom of his sweater vest with one hand.
"I suppose it can't do any harm then,"
he gestured them in. Clive ran his tape measure from the door to the wall. It wasn't hard. The apartment looked like a monk lived in it.
"I didn't think we'd catch you in," he said. "I figured you'd be at church."
"I'm surprised you're not at church yourself," Andrew said in a neutral tone.
"We're going to evening services tonight," said Clive.
He checked the tape again and wrote another set of numbers in his notebook. Andrew dipped his head forward, then forward again.
"We're having starlight services tonight as well," he said. "Out at Zuma Beach."
"That's quite a drive," said Nate. "What is that, 45 minutes away and on a Sunday night?"
"Prayer with good fellows is always worth it," said Andrew. "And the sound of the waves makes it especially invigorating."
"Cold, though," said Nate with a smile.
"I've never noticed. The Lord warms us with his presence. What church do you attend, Nate?"
He felt the mine under his foot and sensed others nearby.
"I don't have one at the moment," he said.
"Still looking for somewhere since I moved."
"Our congregation is selective, but I'd be honored to sponsor you for membership if you'd be interested."
He tried to find a safe path.
"That might be nice," he said. "Can I get back to you about it later?"
Andrew's head moved side to side again.
"You're not interested now?"
"I don't know anything about it now." The other man weighed this, as if the thought had never occurred to him.
"I suppose," he said. "Although it is a wonderful church. We have so much fun, it almost doesn't feel like worship."
"Well," said Clive, "I think I've got everything. Thanks, Andrew. We'll get out of your hair."
"It was no problem at all," he said. "Have a wonderful day."
They stepped out and he closed the door after them. The two of them slipped out back to do the exterior measurements and then headed back to Debbie and Clive's apartment. Debbie had decided to make an early dinner for everyone. Zila had followed the women down after her apartment had been measured, and Debbie had drafted her to set the table. Zila seemed to find being domestic funny as hell. Veek stood off to the side typing on her phone.
Got everything? She asked when they walked in.
I guess we'll see, said Nate. He glanced at Debbie and the pots. You didn't have to do all this. She waved him off.
We've got this huge table, and we've never had enough guests to fill it. It's fine.
Clive walked past them to the table. He flipped open his notebook and copied numbers down onto his legal pad blueprints. Math got sketched out in the margins while they passed around spaghetti and sauce. He got up to wash his hands and then came back shaking his head.
This doesn't make any sense.
No kidding, murmured Zila. She peered over at the mess of lines and numbers. He shook his head again.
No, I mean, this makes no sense at all.
He flipped between pages of the legal pad and held it up for everyone to see.
Okay, he said. The exterior walls are just brick. They're 3.5 inches thick everywhere we measured. I'm going to say that's probably standard throughout the building.
He traced a line on his blueprints.
The interior walls are another story. They're anywhere from 14 to 26 inches thick, depending on which ones you're talking about.
Is that normal for an old building? Asked Vic.
For a pueblo, maybe. Not for anything like this. There's more, though.
Clive looked across the table at Nate.
You were right about the layouts. There's something weird going on.
I was bound to be right someday, Nate said, spinning spaghetti onto his fork. Law of averages.
Clive pointed across the studio. Our kitchen and bathroom are over there. Zila's bathroom is right above ours, so they share the same wall. So that wall has all our pipes in it. Make sense?
They nodded.
My bathroom's different from yours, though, Zila said through a mouthful of pasta.
Right, but from a construction point of view, there's no real difference. There's water pipes and drain pipes. What happens inside the room doesn't matter. The thing is how stuff gets to and from the room.
Okay.
Now, here's where it gets weird, he said. Zila's kitchen is against the opposite wall of her apartment, the outside wall of the building, same with Veek. You'd think she'd be against the far west wall, the same wall Mandy and Andrew's apartments use above her, but she's here.
He pointed at their handmade blueprints and gestured to the far side of the studio.
Against this wall, and her kitchen's against the outside wall of the building.
Nate looked over at the blueprints. So, what's the problem?
It's not really a problem, said Clive. It's just weird. You want to minimize the number of walls with pipes in them. That way, if something goes wrong, you don't have to make as many holes. Plus, you don't need to run as many pipes, so it's cheaper, too. All the drains feed into a shared line. All the water branches off a shared line.
And that's not what we've got?
Asked Vic. He shook his head.
As near as I can figure, there's one of two things going on here. One, every apartment has its own set of plumbing running through the walls, maybe two in some cases, because the bathrooms and kitchens are so far apart. In a building this old, that means there's more metal in our walls than wood.
Nate looked at the paneled walls. And option two?
Two is that there are shared lines, but they're crisscrossing back and forth under the floors to reach different apartments. It's like trying to go from LA to New York with layovers in Tokyo and London. It's just exceptionally bad planning.
He shrugged.
I've done some plumbing work, not a ton, but this has to be the most inefficient, expensive way to set up a building I can think of. It's like they made tons of space inside the walls, then made the plumbing 2 or 3 times more complicated than it needed to be so they'd have something to fill it.
They all looked at each other across the table.
Or, said Debbie, they were making space in the walls for something else.